to the sounds of Podcast 1980DX.
Podcast 1980X number 17, and this week, Ray and I will be discussing something that is, not to trot out a tired cliche, but something that is rather near and dear to us, and that is the genre of gaming known as shmups, or shooters, for some of the more purists out there, who refuse to truncate the name of their beloved genre because Call of Duty is popular. And more power to those people, honestly. But
ShooterNotShmup.com.
Yeah. Honestly, I just call them shmups because just in everyday conversation about gaming, it's easier to say that and have people understand what you're talking about. And I think a small part of me just like saying it because it's such a stupid-sounding word. But yeah, so this week I'm going to talk about shmups and nothing but shmups and give these games the respect they're due and the... their time in the limelight that they should have.
Now, so, before we get into this, are shmups your favorite genre video game?
Shmups are not my favorite genre video game. I don't know what I would say is. I guess if I looked at the collection that I have now and the majority of games I've played, they're probably mostly of the action-adventure type of a Darksiders or like a Bayonetta or things like that. But,
I only ask so I could say that they are my favorite video games.
Yeah.
I will probably be playing this genre of video games until I die. We've talked about this before on a different podcast, how as you age and you get less and less interested in video games, you sort of stick to the more pure examples of what a game is or what games are.
Definitely.
And then, you know, because of that, most people kind of retire to fighters or shmups. And
right.
Like, I can honestly, I frequently see myself playing these shmups until I'm, you know, until I'm dead, actually. It might seem funny now because we've never really seen it yet, but I could see myself as a really old man still into these games, and they will undoubtedly still be around.
I think they will. There will always be a market for this type of game. and I don't know... I would be curious to find out, and there's no way I would because I'll be dead by that time, but I'd be curious to know...
Well, then you'll know everything.
If the, what's that? Well, then, yeah, then I'll know
point,
everything.
So.
I'll be curious to see from my ethereal place of afterlife of if the love of shmups or the interest in them dies with our generation. Because I don't see a lot of new gamers getting into this genre. I'm sure there will be, just by the nature that there are so many people, and there will be a percentage of them that gravitate toward it. Just like there are people who love the Beatles that weren't alive when they were around.
You are probably right. We should talk about that when we talk about the future of the genre.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
Or a lot to posit about that.
So, we figured the easiest way to kind of go over the shmup genre, because it has a varied and rather convoluted history. The easiest way to go about talking about them to start off would be just to do a history of them. And by shmup definitions, this is a pretty cursory look at the genre.
Yeah, most definitely.
In terms
it's
of
basically
sheer number of releases and how many we'll actually talk about.
Right. It's basically a list I created. That's sort of a bullet point history of the genre.
It would be impossible to do them all justice unless we felt like turning 1980X into the shmup podcast and covering one on every episode.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Which is not out of the question.
And I don't mind
saying
that idea
out loud. But
let's stop recording and start planning.
So yeah, we're done. So of course, any conversation about video games and their history cannot be had without mentioning Pong. Just like a shmup conversation cannot be started without mentioning Space Invaders, which is the shmup, the original, you know, blueprint from which all these others have come from in some fashion.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I have to say that I've probably only played the original Space Invaders once, maybe. I've played so many versions of it, though.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have played it.
I mean, I stayed away from Space Invaders pretty much as long as I could. It was only the boredom of a math class and the availability of a TI-85 or 83 that got me into the game, or a version of it. And really, I got really addicted to it. And I wondered why I had never given the game the attention that I guess it had deserved beforehand. But, I mean, this game, I was never quite aware at just how popular it was in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That at the time of it, once it caught on in arcades in Japan, it actually, you know, created a shortage of coins in Japan. Which is
right.
Something that I heard and thought to be a little unbelievable, but yeah, it's true. And apparently it got to the point where game centers, and this was at the very beginning of game centers, before they were called game centers, were basically called something like Space Invader places. You know, I'm not quite sure how it translated because I read the Japanese, but the arcades were referred to by as just being places to play Space Invaders.
Right.
That's really interesting to me. I mean, what that says to me is that Japan really got its taste of video games. Its first taste of video games were shmups, or was a shmup. Whereas if you go to America, what would you say that America in general, what do you think our first foray into video games was?
Probably Pong.
Yeah.
I'd say Pong.
I mean, it's weird because I want to say Pong, but I don't. I kind of want to say Mario Brothers in a weird way. I don't really know if that holds water. It just, for some reason.
In terms of like a game, like the first big thing in America for gaming, Pong,
yeah, like
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. I guess I would say Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Right. So I guess you would say that the first, I don't know what you would call. I would call Pac-Man a puzzle game. So I guess you would You sure. Say America's first big game was a puzzler.
Sure.
And Japan's was a shmup.
I can see that.
So, yeah, Space Invaders. I actually had not ever played the original. I've never played the original, obviously, but a version of the original formula. I've never played it until, probably not until a couple years ago. I went out of my way to go play it just to see it.
Sure.
My actual first taste of a Space Invaders type game was, and they're not on here, so we won't really talk about them, but was actually Centipede for the NES, which is a Space Invaders-esque type of formula.
Yeah.
And actually,
Centipede's a really strange game.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom, because that was my mom was into Centipede and Millipede. So, thanks, Mom, for introducing me to shmups, I guess.
That's a really interesting game, and it's a really interesting, I mean, not to digress, but the artwork for Centipede, when you go look at the actual production art,
right,
it's really interesting.
Right.
As is the cabinet art. But
So, Space Invaders...
By Taito.
By Taito in 78. And not long after, Namco went ahead and made their own version of a Space Invaders and called it Galaxian. And I would say most people are probably familiar with Galaxian because it's an intro to Ridge Racer.
That's true.
Yeah. Most people listening, I would say. I'm sure there are a few of you and a few people out there in the shmup community that actually played Galaxian in an arcade.
I'm familiar with it because of Matthew Broderick's character in War Games.
Oh.
It was his game of choice.
Yeah.
Which he held the high score on, apparently.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you look back at your life and the things you've seen and the things you liked as a child, and you can't help but come to the conclusion that you really aren't more than that which you've consumed.
Right.
Because pretty much all I like right now are the things that I watched as a kid.
Right.
You know, War Games, Ninja Turtles, etc.
Right.
Anyway, Lightman in War Games. That was his game of choice. And, that was honestly my first exposure to that genre of video games before I actually got my first game, which was a shmup, which we'll talk about in a little while. I really liked that game. I played it later.
Yeah, kind of interesting to note, Space Invaders was, the premise was a ship versus aliens, or like an insectoid-looking alien.
Right.
Galaxian is the... I guess you would say is the first shmup that had the spaceship versus spaceship type motif.
Right, even...
that most shmups following it seem to follow.
Yeah, even Space Invaders, if you look at the art, which I just saw somewhere recently, I think someone on the shmups forum posted a really good picture of the, not production art, but just the sketches that the original designer had made.
Mm-hmm.
The enemies... we kind of take them for aliens. They really were more... They were aliens, but they really originally were designed more of... more as, like, underwater creatures. Like,
huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that kind of crustacean look, I guess.
Squiddy.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I never saw that until I saw it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It looks... Yeah. The, so after Galaxian, and I'm sure there's a couple in here that I know that we're missing, but just these are just of note... Namco decided to improve on their form of Galaxian, at least Galaga, in 81.
Which I never played. I mean, I played it, but I'd never played it when it was important.
Yeah. No, I've played an arcade cab of Galaga. It might still be there, actually, at Sunsplash, the arcade there. Has a couple old games there, and one of them... When I was there one time, Galaga was there, and I played it for the specific reason of having... that experience of playing the original version of the game on the original arcade.
And not to skip ahead, but we're not going to talk about it anyway. I played Galaga 88 for the TurboGrafx.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... Honestly, I think... I remember playing it at the time and thinking, this is probably the most competent version of Galaga ever made. And even to this day, I think the general consensus is that it's still probably the best version of Galaga around.
What I was going to say is... I haven't played 88, but I was going to say, when I played Galaga in the arcade, it's fun. It's still fun.
It is.
It's surprisingly still very playable, despite its primitive nature.
It is.
And it's still somewhat of an interesting take on the genre, despite the fact that it's part of the definition of the genre. But it's interesting because... it's the whole single shot, really slow pace to it. It's not a stream of bullets. It's like one at a time, and it's very calculated.
Most definitely. Something to note is that these games required a level of precision in terms of shooting that sort of gave the genre its name, I think. I mean, because really, again, not to jump ahead, but we're kind of at the point now where it's more about dodging than it is shooting. Back then, it was really about shooting.
Right.
And that might be one of the aspects of these old games that I like the least, is the precision required for the actual shots. Which started, I guess, with Space Invaders.
It also requires a ridiculous amount of patience.
Yeah, most definitely.
Because you really, you have to shoot, you probably have to shoot as much as you're not shooting.
Yeah.
So that you have a, you're in a position to do so.
Exactly.
And a lot of, most shmups today, you know, a lot of the manic ones require patience, they require patience of a different sort, I would say.
Sure.
So, yeah, so,
And I mean, going back to Space Invaders, I mean, there was a level of restraint in Space Invaders because, you know, there's a pretty ingenious gameplay mechanic of you don't want to destroy your base with your shots.
Right.
Because that's what's saving your butt. So, yeah, interesting design.
Right. And now to a game that I don't... not particularly fun to me, and probably not to you either, but this game is exceedingly important in the history of shmups because it's directly responsible for my favorite shmups and for your favorite shmups for the most part. And again, Namco bringing out the first vertical scrolling shooter, Xevious, in 1982. It basically any game, you know, Ikaruga, Raystorm, Mushihime-sama, anything like that, Dodonpachi, all owe to this game sort of bringing in that type of, I'm actually flying over an environment, and there are things in the environment aside from the enemies that I can interact with in some way.
Unfortunately, this is my least favorite shooter ever.
I was going to say, and I actually, I played it this morning. I played it before, but I played it this morning again to just sort of remember what it's like, and the same way that Galaga is still somewhat playable to me today, Xevious is not at all.
And I think that's a direct reflection of the precision required to play that game, because it's in the same way that if you've played arcade versions of Gradius, they ask you to, well, the missile and the shot button are separate buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting because Xevious is like the first example of a game that requires you to pay attention to basically two planes of existence,
sure,
the planes
exactly.
of the playfield. But it asks you to do so with the same precision that those old games require.
Right.
In other words, the bombs that you're dropping aren't very forgiving in terms of area of attack. So, I don't know, the game just is too frustrating.
And you're
for
also
me.
Dealing with another a concept that wasn't really in shmups before. You're dealing with the concept of different fire rates.
Yeah.
Your bomb does not fire nearly as fast as your shot does.
It's a very complicated game. I mean, in a lot of ways I can see how it would have turned people off, and I don't quite understand how it gained the popularity that it did. Not, it wasn't one of the more popular shmups ever, but I can't believe that people even accepted it, to tell you the truth. I hate the game that much, unfortunately. I just can't stand the game.
It's just, I don't know. Perhaps it's just a case of that the concepts in it are you know, looking back now, the concepts in it, the technology then couldn't do them the justice that they are now today.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
by that very factor, that game is not fun.
I happen to be very masochistic, but this is... it was just a level of masochism that I'd rather not partake in, you know?
Yeah. And something interesting you said before we recorded this is that Space Invaders, Galaga, Galaxian, and all space-oriented.
Sure.
Xevious takes it to the Earth, Terra Firma, or at least a, you know, I don't know what the story of it is, if there is one, but it's not space. It's the ground, there's rivers, there's roads, there's grass.
Yeah, very interesting to
note. Land-based tanks and turrets and things like that.
For sure. This is very interesting to note because it's the very early schism of the two kinds of games, of the two kinds of shmups.
Right.
And eventually I will not like shmups that take place.
Right. And you could, I mean, not to go off on a tangent, but...
maybe that's another reason I don't like this game. That's interesting. I never thought about it. It could
maybe,
be.
Not to go off on a tangent, but you could say a lot of games that are not, and we'll get to it later, but a lot of games that are not hardcore straight-up shmups took a lot from Xevious. I mean, for some reason, when I was just describing it, I was thinking of Ikari Warriors.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's two soldiers instead of a plane or instead of a jet.
Sure.
Know? And you could and think you of
control this girl.
A myriad of games like that, you know, Ninja Warrior or Ninja Assassin on Neo Geo, things like that, where it's a land-based thing.
What's interesting to note is that in most people's opinion, Space Invaders is the first shmup.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't... There is no scroll, which is, you know, typically considered part of the definition of a shmup nowadays.
Sure.
Whether it be horizontal or vertical.
Sure.
It's really interesting to me how people give Space Invaders that leeway, but they don't give other games in the genre that leeway, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. It's by the definition... Yeah, the genre it helped start,
yeah,
it is barely a part of.
Controlling the scroll is not an aspect of a game that I... is not an aspect of the genre that I typically enjoy.
Yeah.
I like the lack of control.
Sure. It's a sense of speed. It's an additional layer of immersion.
Most definitely.
So Zebius takes it a little more realistic, and the comment you made, the connection you made, is that Toaplan then took it a step further with Tiger Heli.
Right, took it back to Earth.
Took it way back to Earth, and...
Back in time, arguably. I mean, I don't know when Zebius takes place, do you?
No. I'm not really
probably the future.
Tiger Heli...
Or the distant past.
Tiger Heli being straight up realistic... I mean, not realistic, obviously, but the most realistic true to life that there was. I mean, you're a helicopter, not a jet.
Right.
You're flying over homes, and you're battling other helicopters and tanks and other military-esque vehicles. The interesting thing to me about Tiger Heli is it was one of the first shmups I ever played at the age of 5 or 6.
Hmm.
It's right when I got my NES, and I remember renting it a lot because I liked the word tiger so much.
And the artwork was pretty interesting too. I mean, I don't know if you remember that.
Definitely. You know, as a little kid, you get obsessed with really weird things, and
that
leads you to make certain decisions. I like the word tiger a lot. And I rented it a lot. Eventually, my dad bought it because I rented it so much. And I remember getting reasonably okay at that game because even at a young age, I remember Tiger Heli has no stages. Tiger Heli has one stage, and it just continuously loops.
It's a very difficult game.
You start... Oh, yeah. Aside from its difficulty, it's just...
I can't believe you enjoyed it.
I can't... When I play it now, I can't believe I enjoyed it. But when I was little...
What else is there?
I think... Yeah, the novelty of, you know, piloting a helicopter and shooting things, and the fact that you could blow up the houses and the buildings and you could see damage that you did and stuff like that.
Sure.
That was I actually spent more time going out of my way to hit all the houses than I did actually hitting the enemies. But the whole endless scroll thing to me is something that I don't see repeated very often anymore.
No. That's typically... I speak with ignorance here. I don't know. So was there an ending to this game?
I don't remember.
Or
I never
entirely.
If there is one, I never reached it. But I do remember I got good enough at it as a kid to hit the second loop at least, you know, a couple times. Mm. And essentially what happens is you start off on a pier, like an ocean, and you fly over the water for a while, and you come into a town, and you fly over the town, and then the town turns into like a jungle area, and then the jungle area turns into another area that I don't remember right now, and then that area turns into something else, and then it turns back into the water, and then the water goes back into the town, and then et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And that's basically a product of when games were still about the score.
Sure.
And not so much the experience of playing the game.
Yeah, most definitely.
And all that is just the continuous scrolling is just a vehicle for you to score as high as possible.
Another
aspect.
It's not
about weaving a story of any kind.
Right. Another aspect of the genre that remains really important to this day.
What's that?
Score.
Oh, the score, yeah.
Really the only genre of video games that still pays attention to the score.
Sure. Shmups. Definitely.
Yeah.
And then there have been permutations on measurements from that as well, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point here. Probably coming up fairly soon. Space Invaders, Galaxian, Galaga, Zebius, Tiger Heli, all vertical shmups. Not known as that at the time, but they're all vertically oriented.
What else was there?
Nothing until 1985 when Konami releases Gradius, or Gradius, depending on your pronunciation.
I apologize for the mispronunciations that I may
exhibit. I'm going to call it Gradius because that's what I've always called
it. I've called it Gradius.
It's half the word gradient, it's Gradius. You don't call it a gradient.
true.
Sorry.
I've heard Darius yesterday for the first time. Have you ever heard anyone say Darius?
No, because I've met people named Darius, and they spell exactly. it exactly the same way.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah, Gradius, Konami 85. Anybody, if you're listening to this podcast, you don't know what this is, I can't help you. But, you know, anybody who's going to go out of their way to listen to this and, you know, all you shmup forum members listening because you can't get enough of everything shmups, you all know what Gradius is. And I'm sure you're more than aware of what it's done for the genre. And in my opinion, other than another game we'll talk about here in a short moment, there haven't been a lot of shmups that sort of follow the power-up structure of Gradius.
You know, it's interesting. It is my fault, but I totally forgot to mention Gradius's little brother. Well, Gradius's father, actually. Defender. I totally forgot. Which is arguably Gradius without the ability to display interesting graphics. And that's why I forgot about it, and that's why I don't really want to talk about it so much. So
probably.
We're skipping right to Gradius.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you right now, we're going to skip Gradius 2. We're going to skip Gradius 3.
I'll probably talk about Gradius 3.
Well, actually, no, we probably won't skip. We're going to skip Gradius 4. We are going to talk about Gradius 5 because, I mean, it's the ultimate refinement of that formula.
Because it's the pinnacle of the genre, possibly.
Right. So, yeah, Konami comes out with Gradius, spaceship in space, but removes the space war aspect of it from spaceships and replaces it with a very weird organic type of overall theme with the enemy types.
Sure. I mean, there have been two. I mean, well, first of all, power ups didn't introduce them, but made them a more integral part of the game, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Made them more a more prominent feature.
Well,
I guess you could just say complicated the
situation. It adds a layer of strategy because you can choose. You basically choose in what order you get your power-ups because it's it's essentially a miniature store that you're purchasing from at any time,
which is remarkably complex.
You know, the power-ups are the power-up orbs are not defined to something. They are a method of currency
right.
to spend on this store of power-ups. And if you take, I'm sure if you took a selection of people that have all played Gradius and are all familiar with how it works, I'm sure you would get some very interesting, some variations on which power-ups they purchase first, depending on how they like to play.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Like, and I remember until I was until I was pretty old, I never used the double.
Right.
I viewed double as a handicap pretty much my entire youth.
I never did it.
Why would you use, you could have lasers.
Right.
I didn't understand.
I want more options. I don't want double.
Not only does double decrease the rate of fire, primary fire.
Right.
But it's not lasers.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the bigger argument. It's not lasers. Yeah.
If you have the choice of anything and lasers, you probably pick lasers.
Probably pick lasers.
Unless you're in a desert and now, it's water and lasers.
I also played the first.
Arguably, you might still pick lasers.
I also played the first Gradius last night. I've been playing some shmups in preparation for doing this. I played the first Gradius last night and on the NES and
which was my first one credit.
You know, those laser effects still look really good.
Yeah, the game doesn't do the NES port does not do a bad job.
No.
Of recreating the arcade. You can only have two options.
Right.
But the music is amazing. There are two shmups in history that have influenced me as a person and as a gamer more than any other, and one of them was Gradius, and it's because it was the first game that I ever got and played.
Yeah.
My taste in music has a lot to do with the Gradius soundtrack.
Sure.
It's very, I mean, honestly, I don't think that any other, maybe the Darius games and Zutada, who does their soundtracks, have more eclectic, an eclectic mix, but the Gradius game, for its time, the soundtrack's insane. It's bizarre. I still can remember hearing the second stage's background music,
mm-hmm.
and it's so discordant and not even a song. And to this day, I tend to enjoy music that is discordant and arguably not even a song. So yeah, this was one of the most important games, and we'll come across the other one that's important to me later on. But this game I heard a long time ago when I used to work with a really old guy. He's like 40 years old. Was really into video games. He was actually in the industry for a while. And I remember him telling me that he'd met a lot of people from Konami, the U.S. offices. And the stories that he heard from that company, which I've never told you this, which is really interesting. His impression of that company is they are some weird motherfuckers.
Yeah.
His impression, which was given to him by the people who worked at the U.S. office, was that the Japanese branch is a very, very peculiar company. I know in more recent times it's not very apparent, but apparently back then it was a kind of a closed corporate structure, and they kept who they wanted to keep, and basically they had an MO for all, and you can see that MO in most of their games, and it's just to be weird. Like the Moai heads from Gradius.
Right.
Honestly, when I first saw them as a child, I remember thinking, this is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. Like, yeah. Granted, I'm only 6 years old, but this is one of the most bizarre things I've
those
ever seen.
Interesting side note real quick. I remember seeing those and then seeing pictures of the actual Moai heads.
And I was like, why do they have hair?
And being really confused.
Why do they have hair? Why do they look like George Washington?
Well, I was just... I would, you know, the whole classic pictures of them, like, lopsided on the the shores of Easter Island. And I remember thinking...
Was this where Gradius took place?
And I remember thinking... Wait, so are those real? Did those really shoot laser, like, you know, Fruity Loop looking lasers out of their mouth? Because I was introduced to them through Gradius.
Right.
Gradius,
yeah.
I'm gonna pronounce it wrong now.
Right. I got my impression of the game basically from my father, who played the game with me for quite some time, and I remember seeing his reaction because, like I said, I was young and I didn't know really what to expect from culture. But I remember seeing his reaction to the enemies and the art direction in this game. The looks on his face were just bizarre. You know, it looks like he'd been shocked, or maybe he was realizing he was getting old. One of the two. But yeah, great game.
So
great
game. Gradius, good game. Good sequels too. And I don't know the history of this company, unfortunately. I don't know where they came from. I don't know if they were, if they're a reform from a team that broke off or what, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were, because the formula is real similar. But in 1987, IREM put out R-Type, which, if you wanted to sum that game up in a ignorant one sentence summation, would be a Gradius clone.
Which, say what you said earlier, you made a really good analogy.
I
never thought about it this way before.
I would say that R-Type is the king of fighters to Gradius' Street Fighter. I
totally agree with that.
If you're aware of the differences between King of Fighters and Street Fighter, and the differences and similarities, both planned and unplanned.
Not only, I mean, that analogy is apt not only in that they're two games in the same genre that are slightly different, but it's apt because, I guess aesthetically, I would agree with that analogy.
Yeah.
Like, R-Type's a little bit darker, so was KOF. It was a little bit stranger, so was KOF.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more difficult, so was KOF.
Yeah, Gradius with the Bacterian Empire, the name itself, Bacterian Empire, brings to mind, you know, a lot of amoeba-like enemies and weird organic-looking machines.
Sure.
Whereas R-Type went even further and had straight-up just organic enemies with weird half-machine, half-dinosaur, lizard, space monsters.
Strange enemies.
With tentacles and weird guts thing, you know, guts flying everywhere and the like.
Yeah.
And, but then R-Type, obviously, if you're familiar, switched it up with doing away with a power-up system like Gradius. And instead of giving you many options, basically give you one option that they call a bit, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they gave you options, but they didn't let you... I mean, there were different colors, different choices in terms of, like...
Right, right.
But they didn't give you a choice. Like, in other words, it was always going to be the blue power-up that appeared here.
Right.
Do you want... But, so yeah, it was a little bit more restrictive than Gradius.
Right. And I guess if, I always considered Gradius to be somewhat of a slower shooter.
Guess.
A little more
compared to our type?
Well,
just in general.
Just in general.
Okay.
It's a little more methodical. It's a little slower. Oh, and a real quick thing, Gradius is one of the few shmups I can think of where excessive speed is bad.
Yeah, I mean, I always considered Gradius to be basically interesting because it kind of does its own thing. You can really play it any way you want, I guess, is why I think it's so interesting. And that, of course, is because of the way they let you power yourself up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, something that's interesting to me about Gradius is... R-Type is the type of game where it's all about pattern memorization, and the checkpoints are set up with regard to that. So a lot of people really don't like this subgenre of the genre, the pattern memorization shmup.
Right.
I really love them. They're some of my favorite. And I think because they tend to be the more masochistic of the bunch. But what is Gradius then? Because it's kind of half a manic shooter, half a memorization, because memorization is an integral part of Gradius.
Sure.
But it's just such a bizarre mix. It's such a bizarre blend. If you die in Gradius, you might as well start all over. That's another aspect of the game that I think is really
bizarre.
Yeah,
that's the other thing, is there are points in Gradius and other I would say mostly horizontal shmups like it, where if you die, there's almost no reason for you to continue because you're never going to surmount that obstacle. If you couldn't do it before, there's no way you're going to do it with nothing.
It's a very ballsy design choice, and it's not, you know, you don't find that around pretty much anywhere anymore. If you die in modern shmups, you're pretty much given a... Yeah, in fact, when you do die in modern shmups, you're given a mega power-up to pretty much get you back up to speed, if not to make
more
you more powerful
you
than you were before.
Then you died, yeah.
Gradius is just very punishing.
But
so is R-Type anyway.
I was going to say is Gradius has always been more of a slower experience, a little more methodical. And R-Type, I think, is even more so, to an even more severe degree, because you have this layer of strategy where you can attach the bit to your ship on the front or the back.
Yeah.
And basically absorb shots that way and take no damage. And there are
commit
several
damage
parts
to enemies.
What's that?
Or, like, you can use it as an offensive weapon as well.
Right, the actual object itself, let alone what it's shooting out of the front.
Yeah.
And there are several moments in R-Type where you have to have it on the back of your ship, because that's where the attacks are coming from, and you can't orient yourself around the other way.
So R-Type pretty much introduces... I think Defender did that, so I'm not going to say that, but...
Defender had shooting front and back.
But R-Type is very strategic, I guess you could say.
Right.
It's a much more strategic shmup.
Yeah, I'm saying building on the Gradius formula, they took it even further, slowed it down. And
yeah.
Part of the pattern memorization is not only remembering where enemies are, but knowing when to switch the location of your bit.
Right.
And where it needs to be.
There's a memorization, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, R-Type from 1987 doesn't seem like it's that old. Some of these games don't seem like they're that old.
It's a wake-up call, this timeline.
Yeah. In 1986, now we're going to get into a game series I'm not real familiar with. I've played them, but you're definitely more familiar with these. And
I hope.
A big fan.
Otherwise, it'll be quiet.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be really quick. 1986, Taito comes back with Darius.
Yeah.
Original Darius.
Which, I mean, to this day, I still don't understand why it's so close to Gradius. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really isn't, but I remember as a child, like, reading the name Darius and saying, you know, that's really close to Gradius in an interesting way. Mm-hmm. And I remember when G Darius came out, I was like, this is Gradius.
Yeah, it's
just
yeah.
remixed. I don't quite understand. Initially I was drawn to the game just because it looked a little bit like Gradius and, well, it was almost called Gradius. So, this game series is... pretty interesting. If you've ever gotten the chance to play the arcade versions, which I have not, that have the multiple monitors set up, it was very interesting. You've seen those, right?
Yeah.
Basically, I think it was three or four. I think it was three monitors set up to sort of create a more letterboxed vision of the game.
Right.
Basically, open the playing field up to three screens worth of length, which allow the developers to fuck around with bullet patterns a lot more and make them a little more dangerous, a little more interesting, a little more wild. And I really like this series a lot as well. Gaiden being the my favorite, but this series was out there, not only in design, but in enemy design, but in music. Like Zuntata, the people who made and continue to make pretty much the music for the Darius series, are some of the most eclectic musicians on the face of the planet. And I mean, I think that's another reason why I tend to gravitate towards this game series quite a bit. I mean, which games in the series have you played?
G Darius and Gaiden. And Gaiden's probably the one I've spent the most time with.
Gaiden's amazing, and the soundtrack to Gaiden is one of the best shmup soundtracks I've ever heard. It's definitely one of the more interesting soundtracks I've ever heard in video games, period.
The one thing I take away from the Darius series is length. Not in terms of playtime, but
sure.
Just, you know, what's the boss that everyone likes? The level is like the boss, and it's that long-ass ship.
It looks like in Gaiden,
yeah.
It was like a squid.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the name of the boss was.
I can't remember.
Fossilized, mechanical, I don't know.
Right, I don't remember what it is either, but that's
Colossal
the, like, anytime I like play those games or I think about them, the one thing that I take away from it is that just everything's so long. Just
yeah.
Like a lot of horizontal length to it.
Most definitely. The games in the series that didn't support, you know, extra long monitors, you'll see that they still kept that really, you know, horizontally long design.
Yeah. Where you're going along like a single structure or something.
Yeah.
And taking it apart kind of thing.
Pretty interesting. It's interesting. I would have to say that that Gaiden's probably my favorite, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
The original Darius, I don't really enjoy very much. It's, typically when I play it, I have to play it on emulator, and when I play it on emulator, it screens horizontally. And I don't really like that so much. You know? And if I play any port of it, the ports really don't compensate for the decreased screen length.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game's broken in a really subtle way. It's basically just like you're experiencing something that you shouldn't be, so I don't really... I couldn't get into the first one. I couldn't get into this game as much.
Right.
Nor did I have the chance to as a kid. Have you ever known a person other than me who's had this game or even heard of it?
No.
An American? I mean, I obviously...
No, and yeah, anybody, it's one of those games where it's like only the enthusiasts are really aware of it.
Yeah.
And even then, if you are deep enough in the detritus of gaming to know what shmups are and be interested in them and know could pick one out on a shelf.
Yeah.
There are people who would say Darius isn't that Gradius. Isn't that a version of Gradius? Like they don't, you know, it's like a write-off type thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought that for quite some time. So.
Yeah, it's a weird series, and unfortunately, I have not had a lot of time with it. So, end of the 80s, things just keep the complexity of these shooters mostly in aesthetics or content and not so much actual gameplay mechanics is approaching a weird area where you're not quite with the single shot Galaxian type, but you're definitely not at the Donpachi level of bullet hell.
Right.
So the shooters from like late 80s to early 90s are all really weird to me because I feel like there's a moment where these developers start realizing kind of what they have with this genre.
Yeah.
But no one is approaching it with the mentality that, not to skip ahead, the mentality that Cave seems to approach a shooter where they really look at it like a puzzle to solve inside of the mechanic of shooting things. Whereas a lot of these late 80s, early 90s games seem to just, when you play them, there seems to be no rhyme or reason to what's going on screen. At least that is just for me.
Yeah.
Like, the bullets are random, just, like, thrown out there type things.
Right, so you know? I guess what you're saying is the... Well, I mean, a good way to put it is back then when these games, the ones that we're talking about right now, came out,
mm-hmm.
like the R-Types and the Gradiuses and the Dariuses, a lot more effort was put into, and this is something that's been noted with people right now, and it's something that we're for sure going to talk about later on, but a lot more effort was put into the graphics,
mm-hmm.
because that's what was impressive about these games.
Right.
Because they weren't as interested in the actual shooting mechanic.
Right.
They were, you know, because a shot was a shot. What are
right.
you shooting?
When I play any shooter that's made, we'll say 95 and after, because that's when Dunpachi came out. I can take any shooter and I can look at it, and even if I'm doing terrible at it, I can look at it and go, I know that there's a way to get through this, and I know that the developers have thought out a way to get through this.
Right.
Hell of bullets, or this pattern of bullets. Previous to that, I don't think that ever that conversation took place very much.
No, especially, I mean, try and play Gradius 3 in the arcade and tell me that there is a set path to get through. Or
so, moving into that era, we have two games from Toplan, Truxton and Zero Wing. And
Toplan, I don't really, I mean, if you play a lot of games, unfortunately, I mean, the thing with Toplan is most of their emulated games, which is really the only place that I've got a chance to play them, don't have sound or aren't emulated properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame, because when I go and research the actual music, it's some of the best music in the genre.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. But I never got into the games. There's a general aesthetic to them that I don't enjoy. I don't know what it is, but you can recognize a Toplan game when you see one, and I just don't. I tend not to like it, so I don't play the games.
Toplan games, for some reason, make me think of...
They're very dark.
Yeah, but they make me think of...
Smudgy, I don't know.
They make me think of dirty
yeah.
toys.
Yeah, they're very smudgy.
Like Tonka, or not, yeah, like Tonka trucks that you like dirtied up, you know what I mean?
I don't know
what it is.
It's the pixel art.
It's
it looks
like
there's
big,
a layer of...
chunky dirt. Piece of it. Like, I don't know what there is about
this. It's the shading. I mean, there's shading in there in a really weird way, and that everything looks really filthy.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really use bright colors.
No.
And they try and use, it's an interesting approach. It's like they create these really cartoony looking graphics, but then they try and shade them
mm-hmm.
like you would a like monochromatic picture. In other words, like
right.
you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's not very much, there's not a lot of contrast
in the
games.
It's like a single color of yellow with just like a white to black gradient shading. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah there's yeah. just like a, there's no heavy contrast in their games, and that might be what turns me off from them graphically, unfortunately.
That's what makes me think of like, I don't know, it makes me think of like dirty toys. Out of Truxton and Zero Wing, Truxton's the only game I've played out of the two, and I can't really comment on it because every time I sit down to play, I end up turning it off probably about a few minutes into it.
Yeah, so do I.
The only reason that I came to Truxton was because I had a conversation with somebody one time a while ago, and I was talking about Tiger Heli, and they said, did you like it? And I said, I remember liking it as a kid, but I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know if I like it now. And they go, well, try Truxton, because it might be kind of a similar
That's
experience.
What they suggested to you? That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Looking back, I don't know why. Other
That's
than
really
they're both
weird.
Vertical shooters. I don't know why. But, yeah, I sat down with Truxton, and then I played it. The first time I played it is probably the longest time I played it, because I felt like maybe there was something I was missing that I was supposed to figure out. But, yeah. But we can kind of get those out of the way and come to a game that is... it's 21 years old. And the only reason I'm saying that is it's 21 years old, and I still go out of my way to play this game because it is still one of the more fun shooters that I've ever played. And that would be Blazing Lasers.
Blazing Lasers is the other game
that,
of the two
yeah.
that influenced me in terms of everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Blazing Lasers is unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's a game made by Compile.
Is it?
I
Pretty
don't
sure.
know. I probably would have written it down there if. But yeah, I think it was their first game.
You wrote Caravan Shooting here.
Oh. Well, I think it was their first game. Oh, no, it was Compile, because I remember finding out it was Compile and thinking to myself, wow, I really don't like Compile's other games. It's amazing that I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of the first, if not the first, shmup on the PC Engine, which went on to be, people still argue today, the number one system for shmups, which I don't agree with. but
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Some people just like this kind of, it's basically like the place for compile shmups, and if you like that kind of
compile and like Toaplan dirty.
Yeah. If you like those games, then yeah, that's what you'll dig. But Blazing Lasers graphically, it was about as weird as Gradius. I remember thinking to myself when I would play it, this looks a lot like Gradius, and it must be some kind of sequel to Gradius.
Hmm.
And it even has Moai heads, although you're like looking at them from a different perspective.
Right.
I remember seeing them, and I was like, why do all these games include Moai heads? Because really, at that point in my youth, I had only played probably Gradius and maybe one other shmup somewhere.
Right.
And then Blazing Lasers.
Yeah.
So I said, are these the same game? It was that weird point where you started to like become aware of, this is before the internet, where you started to become aware of some nebulous connection, like behind all of these.
Yeah, it became,
behind all the games in this genre.
Yeah, it became the moment where you started to kind of figure out that
there's a culture
that
to
there
this.
Are. Yeah, exactly. Really, it's the not there. They aren't just like things that wind up in a store from the far land of Japan.
Right.
You know, and you read Someone's about it. You read about it in Nintendo here. Power, and you're like, wow, I wonder what it's like in Japan.
It must
be games everywhere in Japan.
Right.
But then you sort of figure out that not only is there a culture to it, but there's a culture to it, and there's a culture behind it, and that culture will share certain things.
Yeah, most
that will
definitely.
Then come out in the things they produce.
The soundtrack to Blazing Lasers is, again, one of the better soundtracks I've ever heard for a video game, period.
Hopefully you're hearing it under this right now, if I can find it.
I have it.
Oh, excellent.
For sure. it's amazing, and it's a very bizarre game like Gradius, like I said. It's an amazing game.
Blazing Lasers, to me, the most notable thing about it that I take away from it is it's one of the first shmups, and I say one of the first in chronologically. I didn't play Blazing Lasers until a while, probably about 8 or 9 years ago, for the first time. It's one of the first shmups that I could probably safely say has the first appearance of really big weapons in it, coming from your ship.
Yeah, most definitely. The game was like a really big technical feat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, not only were the weapons were big, the graphics, the sprites were huge.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember, but it had voice samples for the power-ups, which were really garbled sounding and about as good as they could sound on the PC Engine. But
right.
Still, I remember playing that for kids who at the time really had only seen Nintendo, and they were kind of blown away by the fact that it was voiced.
Voiced, and just the appearance of your weapons coming off of your ship.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of feeling like a lot of shooters make you feel real small and inferior.
Oh, you felt unstoppable.
Yeah.
In this game.
And by the time you get upgraded a little bit in Blazing Lasers, you feel like a boss attacking other enemies. And just the multiple layered look of the graphics of like these structures that you're flying over.
Oh yeah, it was really complex. Yeah, I'm saying technically it was a feat. I remember people still refer to it as such, but I wasn't quite aware of that as a kid. I only am now, like in retrospect, comparing it to other games that came out at the time. So
the following that is, I don't know if we'll talk about them all at once, but
what a soundtrack, man. The sense of speed in that game was also something that I've never quite seen. I still haven't seen it reproduced. I mean, if you go look at a video of the first stage right now and watch how fast that your character is moving through that stage, or moving through the innards of whatever beast, I think it's stage 4 with all the brains.
Yeah,
I'd never seen hardware like display anything that fast before in my life. It's very interesting. Interesting game.
Sticking with the PC Engine or TurboGrafx, whatever your preferred is, these games I for a long time I thought were part of the Blazing Lasers series or something, and I guess it's just it owes to the aesthetic that exists on the PC Engine, and that would be Star Soldier.
It's because Compile made them.
Yeah.
Which is
Star Soldier
again, I didn't know
and
that.
Soldier Blade.
And Final Soldier and all those games that were like so popular on the PC Engine. Yeah, I mean, when you do research or watch an interesting documentary about shmups, about shooting games, you know, you're made aware of just how crazy at this point in shmups history, how crazy competitive everyone was and it was really all based around the PC Engine. It wasn't around the arcade. It was all around the PC Engine.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that they actually started producing those games. People got so interested in like comparing scores and doing all that, that's where they started producing those Caravan games, which were basically just 5-minute long games that sort of allowed you to compete with others for score. And they all played a lot like, they all played basically in what I guess you would call the Star Soldier or Final Soldier or Soldier Engine. They all played like compile games, and they were basically just score runs, which is a really interesting concept to me. And again, you just see how important scoring is to the genre with that.
Yeah. Star Soldier, what was the remake on GameCube, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was probably my favorite in the series.
Yeah. Looks really sharp.
I wish I still had that game. Boy, do I wish I still had that game.
So, we're still in the late 80s, early 90s. And then, this series to me is always sort of weird, because I feel like a lot of the more popular shooters today have their roots in the early 80s still. And I don't know why that is, because, you know, a lot of the Cave series are all new, relatively. Some of them are very new, some of them are from the late 90s. But in 1990, Raiden came out. Or Raiden came out. And for some reason, Raiden is this, just in the mental space that I have about shooters, Raiden is like this dark horse of a series.
Me too.
That, like, no one really talks about, but everyone's just sort of like, yeah, those are pretty good.
Me too. And, you know, I mean, there's a... I'd always assumed that too, but the way that the series is spoken of with such love forms, it surprised me, because I never really enjoyed the series. I don't know, did you?
I never played one until 3. And that's, what, 2000s?
Well, I never... Really, you never played one?
No.
God, I remember playing it in the arcade, and in my eyes, it was one of the it was probably the first manic shooter, in that the bullets were just really fast and pretty random. It requires eventually the genre turns into basically manic shooters and bullet hell shooters. And manic shooters are right now my least favorite, and I think that stems from my dislike for the Raiden series. I could never quite get into the manic style of gameplay. The closest I ever got into it was Raiden 4.
Yeah.
And the Fighters Aces series, which were a bit more quick-paced and less and more forgiving.
Right.
I didn't like 3. Or, I'm sorry, I didn't like the first one. I didn't like Raiden. Just not my favorite game.
It's just kind of weird, because for some reason just that series just seems to be sets apart from like all these other shmups. And there's no particular reason why, because there's nothing really particularly different about it. I don't know. It kind of has a bare bones quality to it.
So it's a weird... I think probably because it was such a... I don't know how to... A dark horse. Like, I guess, you know, is the best way to put it, because when it came out, it did things different. It was a spaceship shooter that took place on Earth.
Yeah,
that doesn't
make
much sense.
It's almost like a Xevious.
Yeah,
not as clunky.
Yeah. I think that series is just so, and it's always been so different from the rest of the genre in terms of its aesthetics. That, I mean, I really think it's aesthetics that give it its flavor. And if you don't like those aesthetics, you won't like the series.
Right.
I guess is my way of looking at it.
I guess it... I don't know. I don't know. We could talk about it for a long time, but it just has a weird lack of personality, maybe?
Or too eclectic.
Could be.
I think. I think that's what it is.
Could be either way. So, up next, we're going to talk about a game that I remember specifically seeing advertisements for in magazines when I was young. And I remember thinking that this was like a pinnacle of gaming that was about to happen, just because it looked so different from anything, let alone shmups, that I had seen up until then. And oddly enough, I can't stand this game. It's probably one of the few shmups I can't stand. But Viewpoint.
I can't stand Viewpoint either.
is worth talking about, at least probably at least for how different it is.
I don't mind it that much, to be honest. I don't mind it that much. It's just, I guess in the same way as Raiden, it was off-putting aesthetically to me. I mean, really, it's just a memory-based shmup, like R-Type or Polestar, but I just never got into it because it's really unforgiving.
Yeah.
And at the time, I mean, to be honest, the perspective was a little off-putting to me. It was a little too challenging. I was young.
It's still pretty off-putting to me, but I remember when I saw it in magazines, I couldn't believe... I mean, when
the graphics, yeah.
When I've played that game since, the visual trickery that's going on there is really simple, and you can pick it apart really fast.
Right, right, right.
But at the time, I was just amazed because, I mean, it looked, for all intents and purposes, three-dimensional.
Yeah, in terms of game design, aesthetically, I think it's really... I mean, not only is it unique, but it's worth applause. It's very interesting. The graphics were something else.
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it.
So, yeah, so kind of, it's the, you know, in the early 90s, developers seem to be taking... It's kind of weird because the shmup genre is... I don't think has really been... was not defined at this point in time yet. Like, there wasn't a... I don't know. There's just... to me, and at least... And, of course, I'm speaking from an American's perspective. In Japan, this could be entirely false, but... there wasn't much of a community around playing specifically these types of games in America. It was sort of like, oh, it's coming out, I have a Genesis, this game's on the Genesis, I'm gonna buy it.
No, that's what I was going to say, is that shmups were more of a home console thing in America. And I think that's why Gradius was the most popular game here, I guess, or most well-known game here, because... I think it could be made that Gradius offers the most from, like, a console owner's perspective.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's the most like a console game.
Yeah.
It offers the most replay value in that way, and so that's probably why it was more popular than any other series. And I guess after that, I would say R-Type.
Mm-hmm.
But, I remember trying to play Raiden, for example, on, like, the Super Nintendo, and it just... What a chore. Not only was it exceedingly difficult, but it was terrible looking. Fortunately, like the Gradius series, lent itself pretty well to home consoles.
Yeah. So this next game is actually not a game I played. I had not played this game until after I had played its sequel, which we'll talk about a little later. But Silphid came out in, was it 92? 91.
Speaking of looking amazing, Silphid was one of the first games that I played for the Sega CD, and I remember renting it from Blockbuster and driving home. And looking at the back of the box, and being utterly blown away by the graphics, and I remember suggesting to myself that there's no way that the graphics are going to look like this, and I mean they did, they looked like that. It was mind blowing to me. I mean it's something that there's a quality to certain shmups that I really like that a lot of fans of the genre don't necessarily like. And that's a sort of cinematic presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people feel that that's unnecessary or extraneous, I guess is a better way, for the genre because narrative is such an unimportant aspect of it. But in my eyes, the narrative doesn't necessarily have to be good, but the cinematic presentation, or just in general, the presentation of that narrative should be really good. And Silphid was one of the first games that I can remember that had voiceover work and was a shmup that felt like a movie or that it could be a movie.
Yeah. I remember I had a Sega CD and I remember seeing advertisements for that game and I remember seeing it in the store and I never rented it because I had this weird... I don't know, I had this weird thing where I thought for sure I was not going to like that game. I don't know what it was. There was something about the cover and the back of the box and the way it was described. I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this game. This game sounds really hard.
That's weird. I remember seeing it. I loved every aspect.
But then at the same time, when I had the Sega CD, I was playing crap like Ground Zero Texas and Sewer Shark and just being like, yeah, these people are real. It's like a movie.
Video's the future, not polygons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that's exactly why I ended up skipping over that game.
That's funny.
Unfortunately.
You bet on the wrong horse.
I definitely did. So moving along here, we're getting closer to what I would consider a real tipping point in the genre where there comes a refinement and a revelation of the depth that can be mined out of this gameplay mechanic of a shooter. But we're not quite there yet, but this game is definitely worth mentioning, only because it takes Xevious, does it better, and looks amazing, and that would be Rayforce.
Yeah.
Taito.
Which, I don't really like Taito as a developer too much in the genre, but Rayforce is an amazing game. More specifically, Layer Section.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I have on there.
It's no.
Probably one of my favorite, one of my favorite shmups ever. Yeah, the game series is really interesting. The lock-on mechanic is a little... I guess it's just a little bit more forgiving. I mean, I didn't like Xevious because it wasn't... It forced you to be too precise, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
The lock-on mechanic, despite its complexity, I still liked it because it was... It didn't require you to be as precise.
Yeah, and it's wrapped in great aesthetics.
Yeah, like most definitely. Some of the coolest graphics and really interesting, good music, too, at the time. Great game. I love this game, actually.
Huh. I just remember that lock-on. I pay attention to really dumb things in games, and for some reason, the icon that pops up when you lock over, and just the way that it appears on screen, there's just something really satisfying about it. And it helps to... Anything like that helps you to gloss over maybe some other minor type things that are going on in the game that bother you.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this yesterday. Where's the HD version of that game?
Right?
What?
I said right?
I mean, it was announced. How long ago?
Man. At least, like, the second week we existed, there was a video of it.
And it was pretty
so
much
that's September.
Done.
So
it was pretty September. Much. It was pretty much done because they put it on display at TGS. I'm
hey,
pretty
Kicks
sure.
is out. Where's Rayforce?
Really, where is
or
it?
Or is it Raystorm that they're doing?
Oh, it's Raystorm.
I think it's Raystorm. Either or.
It is Raystorm.
Yeah. Either or. Where is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I was just thinking about it yesterday. I'd really like to give them my money.
Maybe they put Kicks out and nobody bought it, and they're like, I don't know.
Well, if you
even though
shit.
They're not remotely the same. So here we go. Here's a game that is important. Perhaps I'm sure there could be argument to this to the end of time, but you know, there's always someone who says, well, such and such did this first. Well, that's probably always true, but there is something to be said about lifting a game up that is the first really good example of a thing. And Donpachi, I think, is when shooters are starting to come into this really refined niche thing where you know what you're going to get out of a shooter like Donpachi. Like,
yeah,
a bullet hell.
I originally didn't like that game because the aesthetics reminded me of Raiden, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean more specifically, the game was Cave basically coming out to the scene and really giving us the first taste of the popcorn shmup.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the shmup where no enemy is really important besides the... And what you really should be worried about is navigating as opposed to shooting.
Right.
Yeah. It's a very, very big change. Donpachi wasn't necessarily... Most people agree that Donpachi is the first game that's a bullet hell game. But Donpachi is about as close as you can get. I would definitely say it's the weird transitional game in the genre.
Right.
Very interesting game, and it can't be overlooked. It's a landmark title, but that is pretty impressive looking as I watch you play right now. More impressive looking than I remember it being.
Yeah.
But the popcorn shooting, the basically just sliding your character across the screen and decimating everything you can with your laser is a feel that Cave has... You know, they created it with this game, and most people who play these games come to the conclusion that feel is so visceral and so amazing feeling that they get addicted to the genre afterwards. And I've found that most people who like the genre nowadays are getting pulled in by Cave games,
mm-hmm.
and so anything that doesn't offer that same popcorn feel, they feel is a bit strange.
Right.
Disagree with further.
Sure. Which is probably why. I mean, that's why you have
Cave is the most prominent developer.
Yeah. It also helps that Cave is churning out, you know, 80% of releases every year right now. But
right.
that's why you get. That's why you can play it, but if there's something weird about it, like a Raiden 4, or you're like, there's just something off about this that isn't the same thing I'm getting out of these cave shmups.
I mean, the bullets are moving. The bullets move slower than really I think they. Well, no, and I wouldn't say that they ever have before. I don't know. I really enjoy the aesthetics of the whole Dodonpachi series, or the Danpachi series. It's probably my favorite cave series, having never played Ketsui because of its ridiculous price tag.
It's complete inaccessibility to own.
On every level. Aesthetically, this is probably my favorite of Cave's works.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess this is where, you know, we were talking about how a lot of the games from the late 80s and early 90s were about, you know, the graphics and the appearance and the aesthetic. This is where shmups start becoming just as much about the mechanic and the appearance.
And the bullets.
And, you know, there's a point where actually the gameplay takes over the aesthetics. You know.
Sure.
For certain games, which we will talk about here probably fairly shortly, because we're getting close to the present here. So yeah, Dodonpachi. But then we'll take it back a little bit and go to Darius Gaiden. Came out in 1994. It says here. This is the Darius game that I spent by far the most time with and seen the most of it.
Oh, I think it might be ahead on that list because I was thinking about the Saturn version, which I think came out afterwards.
Right.
The Saturn version is the version that I played, obviously, having no access to arcades. Actually, right. I don't even know if Gaiden came out in the arcades.
I don't know either. I'd say pretty much now any game we discuss is either going to be something that's been emulated or something we owned on a home console.
We talked about Gaiden a little bit earlier. It's probably my favorite in the series, and probably the most interesting, the most eclectic, and something that we really didn't talk about, actually, with the Darius series is what it brought to the table in terms of level choice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is an interesting mechanic. The Darius series, now I'm saying it, the Darius series allows you to basically choose your route in between levels, and sort of like Outrun.
Right.
And it gives the game a lot of replayability. I know and the levels aren't too long, so you can plow through the game a few times in a pretty short amount of time. It's a pretty interesting mechanic that, I mean, what it offers for replayability can't be underlooked. I played the Saturn version multiple times because I never get sick of it, because I never have to play the same levels.
Right. And you want to see what they look like.
Yeah, and I also tend to be the kind of person who likes boss battles more than I do navigating stages.
Mm-hmm.
A byproduct of me liking everything treasures ever made, I think.
Right.
And, the Gaiden series tends to focus on the bosses quite a bit as well, which I dig.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. There's something about the formula of that game that works really well. Just the weird aesthetic that it weaves. There's like a real weird cyber thing to it. I don't know what there is. But
it's
like,
very strange. It's very mid-90s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, this game was in the arcades, and it's also a title on a system that we will eventually do a special on as well. But going back to the R-Type style of shooter where it's slowed down, it's a lot more strategic, and it's just straight rote pattern memorization. And it's also absurdly punishing. Polestar.
Probably the most difficult memorization shmup ever.
Yeah.
I would say without a doubt the most difficult.
Yeah.
I've never completed this game.
I've not either. But you definitely. There have been times where I have foolishly thought that I could, or at least get.
Oh sure.
You definitely feel like you are chipping away at a mountain.
Oh, it's definitely one of those games where you put away and you forget what you're putting away, and then you come back to it a few months later, anxious. And confident in your abilities, and confident in the fact that it evolved since the last time you played Polestar.
Sure.
So you probably have a better chance at beating it this time.
Yeah.
You get to the fire level and kill yourself. Get very depressed.
Yeah.
Eat a pizza.
Also,
the game's impossible.
Also features for a game on for a cart-based game eventually. Some interesting use of three-dimensional sprites.
Oh yeah,
or a faux 3D, I guess.
It's basically, I mean, it has it. It's one of the best looking Neo Geo games. not only does it have animation, like pretty good 2D animation and introduction that was interesting, but the graphics themselves are pre-rendered kind of in the same way that Donkey Kong is. I guess in the same way that Donkey Kong is. Yeah, it's a very, very weird looking game. You know, everything has kind of the appearance of being really gross, but almost like little toys.
Yeah.
So in that way, I mean, in every way other than the graphics, it is exactly like R-Type.
Yeah.
Period. It really doesn't bring much new to the table other than really impressive graphical feats, especially for the time. So, I mean, it's basically a case of if you like R-Type, you probably want to try this game.
To me, it's also, every time I think of Polestar, the most interesting thing I think of
is how much it costs?
No.
I think about that sometimes.
Sometimes I do that, too. But I think about, it is, like R-Type, it's slower, that in Polestar, you almost want to constantly use the charge shot. And not
I'd never use anything else.
Not the rapid fire. And that's really interesting to me that the developer is wanting you to essentially take out scores of enemies one shot at a time. So
right.
That you really have to plan
it's
what
just
you're doing.
Yeah, it's just a much more precise R-Type, you know? It's very daunting.
So.
Completing that game is a daunting task.
Yeah. Moving on. I don't know if I have played this game. I don't know why I say I wouldn't, but I know I played it on. I want to say I played it on PlayStation. Raystorm.
Right.
The Ray series.
Right.
But sort of.
This whole series is the same game.
I was gonna say I don't know what we could really say about it other than it's more of the same and it looked
just
a little better.
Updated graphics.
Looked really good. This game I have not played, and I couldn't even tell you what it looked like. If I saw it, I probably wouldn't even know what it was. But. You have it on this list, so you must have something interesting to say about it. Battle Garega.
This is just a really popular game.
Yeah?
And we didn't really talk that much about Rising, and they are a pretty interesting developer who kind of dig their manic shmups, and that's what they make. They make really small bullets that are almost imperceptible. And they're really fast moving. And some people really like that. I really hate that. It's one of the... It's the subgenre of the genre that I cannot play and I cannot stand.
Yeah.
But it's one of the more popular games, and it's one of the more popular Saturn games too. The Saturn port's exceptional, but it's just a very good game, and I don't think it could or should go overlooked. It kind of apes the whole 1945, which is a game we haven't talked about. Surprisingly, can't believe it.
Yeah.
Aesthetic.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we have any of them on here, which is kind of weird.
We don't.
But I think. No game in the 19 series has ever really left me with much of an impression other than it's a shmup. But
yeah,
they're probably at least worth mentioning, like we're doing right now, because of the aesthetic that they take.
Right.
That they take on.
Which is the Aero Fighter series
went
and took over, which I really happen to like that game.
Yeah.
And that series, the Aero Fighters, which is something else I haven't included. Wow. What a list.
That's a long list.
It is a long list, yeah.
Something you did include that we've already talked about several entries in this series, but this one, I know this particular installment is worth mentioning, G. Darius.
Right. I remember getting this game, and I think it was one of the first games that was compatible with Rumble on the PlayStation, because I remember it came out in a demo, on a demo disc of the PlayStation magazine that I had ripped off from some local store. And I brought it home, and I just got a controller with Rumble, and it was my first taste of Rumble because I didn't have a Nintendo 64.
Right.
And so for that, it's bookmarked in my memory as something really, really cool and unique. And really, it's just another Darius game that's 3D. It's the first all 3D Darius game, and it's a really good looking game. It's really bright and colorful, and the bosses are gigantic. And the camera views that they're able to achieve with the 3D engine, because it's 3D, really bring a lot to the series, I think. So it's available on the Japanese PlayStation Store if you want to get it, which I suggest you do. I bought it.
Oh God, is it? No,
it is. It is. So is another game, which I don't know if it's on that list. But,
guess I need to get on eBay.
Yeah.
God damn it.
It's an amazing game. I really like it a lot. Introduces, I think, the beam attack, mm-hmm. I guess, or the beam counter or beam blast, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically countering bosses' giant laser beams, which was a feeling that was really cool at the time.
Yeah.
And was made all the more cool by the... Made all the more visceral, I guess you could say, by the rumbling of the controller. And for that, I think, you know, it's kind of a landmark game. The ending itself also, which I was just going to tell you, is really interesting. The ending of the game features two pilots. What I guess you assume they're pilots. And you assume one's male and one's female. Who are very, you know, blockily generated via computers. Floating in a sort of bizarre, colorful void
yeah.
towards each other.
Yeah.
And as they embrace and kiss, their bodies, starting at their feet, is being erased. But it's being erased in a way that it's giving way, or it's admitting, or it's giving way to the fact that it's a 3D generated image. So bodies are being turned into wireframes and then disappearing entirely.
Okay.
And at the very last moment in the ending, they kiss. And at that point, their lips are pretty much the only two things left
right.
of them
right.
before they disappear in entirety. It's like a really weird, somber, out there, really Darius appropriate ending.
What are you supposed to take away from that, I wonder?
I don't know. Why even play the game? You're not successful. You disappear.
You won. You're dead.
Maybe that is success. I don't know.
That's the final stage. You figure out the...
death is inevitable.
The completely thin frame of reality and disappear. Digitized version of yourself.
Actually, that ending might speak a lot more than I've ever thought it did, now that I think about it. It's really interesting.
The futility of your actions.
If anyone has a video of that, send it to me, because I've been trying to find one for a long time that I could reference. It's not on YouTube.
So, yeah, G. Darius. Sort of, there's a weird connection this game has, and it's tenuous at best, but only because a lot of the games from this era, the PlayStation era, look the same, where they have the either a really good 2D look or a 3D 2D look that for some reason I love to this day. It still looks really good, even though the geometry is primitive or the pixel work is pixelated and not very high resolution, but there's just something about the grittiness of that look.
You know, PlayStation, I mean... That's weird because, for example, Metal Gear Solid, I don't think looks even acceptable.
No.
But when they keep it simple, and they usually did for shmups, I think it ages pretty well, interestingly enough.
There's just something, I don't know, there's something about the grit of a pixel.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
That's like, right.
I mean,
agree.
I'm playing Bad Rider right now. We're not going to talk about it because neither of us really enjoy the game, but I like, I like looking at this game a lot, but I don't like playing this game at all.
I like watching you play.
Right. Because it probably looks like a Ninja Turtles arcade game, except you're a spaceship.
Right.
It's all like Street Zones.
Right. It's a good looking game.
But to get into my point, up next is the game. I absolutely love this game, and I feel kind of bad. I feel weird saying it because I think a lot of people regard this game as being a pretty easy shmup. And by proxy, if you like it, you like bad shmups, or you're not into them, or something. I don't know. I just got that impression when I sort of go out there on the internet and see what people have to say about this title.
But
Gradius Gaiden on the PlayStation.
Everyone loves this game.
Really?
Yeah.
For some reason, I just got this weird impression at some point that this game was considered to be very easy. And
well, the deal is, and I'm not speaking. I'm not any authority here.
Right. I'm not saying any one person, or I'm not singling anybody out. I just got that weird impression. It could just be self-imposed.
The impression that I get, I got the same impression that you did, and,
mm-hmm.
and what I've come to understand that it represents is more that the Gradius series aren't really about score. They're
right.
kind of about completing the game.
Right.
Kind of like an old platformer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's kind of the relic of being made with home consoles in mind.
Right.
And, Gaiden being released specifically for the PlayStation was a really good example of this. And because of this, there really aren't very interesting scoring systems in them, and they kind of... That limits its replayability.
Sure.
And most of the fans of the genre, you know, who you go listen to or read their impressions of games or their opinions on forums, have pretty much, I guess the best way to put it is, experienced that game, and so they don't really want to talk about it anymore. Because there's no point in going back, really.
Right.
Other than to experience the aesthetic of the game, which is,
that
interestingly enough, something that I don't think that a lot of shmup players do, which is something that I know we do.
Yeah, like I'm playing Batrider right now, or
just
Batrider,
to see the game.
Batrider, however you say it. Just to look at it. I'm doing terribly at it.
Sure.
But I like seeing it.
Sometimes, I mean, I will play emulated games credit fed just so that I can see everything.
Why would anybody who does? I mean, I understand why you wouldn't.
I mean, later on, I will, of course, try and one credit if it's a good game, but
if you're sitting there trying to one credit it, or you're trying to get good at it, yeah, you're not. Once you die, you're done. You're not going to credit feed it after that. But
sure.
I think anybody who plays a shmup and never credit feeds it, or has a weird mental hang up about doing it,
sure,
is just doing themselves a disservice, and the art of the game that they're playing a disservice.
Sure.
Not to get off too far on a tangent, but Gaiden, to me, I really liked because, one, it's the classic Gradius formula, and two, not that this is new, because the Gradius games have done this for a while, but where you can switch the set of power-ups you get, but in Gaiden, you have very unique personalities to the ships that you can be.
Sure, yeah,
and
they take ships from Life Force.
They're essentially like Power Rangers, where
right.
the green ship has appropriately green-looking attacks. The
Which
pink
like.
Ship has pink-looking attacks.
For sure, that's really cool.
And I like that a lot. And
really cool design choice.
The more I talk about it now, the more I wish I still had this freaking game. But
hey, man. It's one of the only games that I kept, like, hard copy of, because
yeah.
it's so fucking cool. And the soundtrack is also one of the better examples of how good Konami is at producing a soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, they really used the PlayStation for what it was good for.
Yeah.
Interesting 2D effects. I know it wasn't known for that, but what I'm saying is...
Some of the best-looking lasers in that game.
Sure. What I'm trying to say is they didn't try and make this game a 3D affair.
No, they knew. They
stuck to 2D and made really good music.
They
took advantage of the hardware and what it was good for.
I'm gonna go a little bit out of order on your list here, because I think, appropriately, this game should follow Gradius Gaiden. And it's only jumping one down on the list here, but... I sort of lumped these two together because I feel like they are the same sort of... let's take the classic formula of the shmup we've been producing and do something really unique and awesome with it on a PlayStation. And that would be R-Type Delta.
Right.
I feel like those two games are kindred spirits. Obviously they're kindred spirits, but those specific releases are even kindred spirits. Because
sure.
they came out real close to each other, and they sort of have that... Let's put a new twist on what we've already been doing.
Yeah, most notable is the fact that they're both very colorful games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're some of the last examples of color in that generation. Because everything, I mean, that's really when it started
before
getting...
Before Brown and Gray took over.
Yeah, before Brown and Gray took over. But Delta, I don't really like the R-Type series that much. I think, for example, I think Polestar's a better R-Type than R-Type ever was.
Sure.
I like the aesthetic of the R-Type series. I just never really liked the game design or the levels, I guess you could say, because really R-Type's more about navigating the levels. But for Delta is one of my favorite R-Type games. It's my second favorite R-Type game ever. I would say that my opinion of the R-Type games goes in exact reverse order compared to everyone else's.
Really?
Yeah. Because my favorite's Final, which we'll talk about. But Delta is an amazing game with another amazing soundtrack, and it, again, is one of the only games that I still have a hard copy of because of this. It's also on Japanese PSN, just about it.
Great. I'm definitely going on eBay now. That's an interesting thing to note that we didn't really, is that R-Type definitely brings in the level architecture as part of the challenge.
For sure.
Gradius does, but not to the extent of where you're having to literally navigate forward, then backward, then forward, you know, actually...
Or destroying, like, pieces of the level.
Sure.
To progress.
I mean, the Gradius has it, but not in the same way. They just took certain things of it and kind of turned it up to 11 on some of those. But to go back to the game that I skipped, this will be quick because we've already kind of talked about it, but Dodonpachi is worth mentioning because it took the formula of Dodonpachi and, like, that is the quintessential bullet hell shooter.
Yeah, the first, arguably.
And going from that, you know, all shmups kind of stemming from the bullet hell type owe some small part of themselves to Dodonpachi.
Well, I mean, I enjoy Cave, and I pretty much buy all of everything that I can of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So no offense to them, but every game pretty much they've made since has been Dodonpachi in a different outfit.
Sure.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm not arguing at all.
Outfits include scoring mechanisms, but a different outfit nonetheless. It's really no different.
They're just sort of adding, they either remove and add a new concept or just...
I know that's simplifying things, kids.
Yeah. But
I don't think it's totally ridiculous.
No, but yeah. I can hear people screaming death smiles now, but
sure.
We'll get to that maybe.
Sure.
We'll get to that maybe. I'm going to skip this next game too. We'll come back to it real quick because I think we'll talk about it for a little bit. I know you definitely will. But I want to knock out these next ones real quick because they're worth mentioning and getting out of the way to talk about this monster. This next game you don't enjoy. I actually do. It's not an easy game. It's definitely a quintessential, I've used that word already again, cave game in that the first level, really easy. And then the second level will just kill you. It'll make you want to kill yourself. And this would be, you give me a weird look, this would be Dangun Fever.
I don't like this
Dangun
game.
Fever on. You hate this game.
Fucking game is terrible.
But this
I don't think I've ever played a shmup that I disliked as much in my entire life.
What about it, do you know?
Like, I mean, the graphics and the design choice are really cool, and I bet you I could probably watch someone play it for much longer than I could ever bother playing it, because it's really competently designed.
Mm-hmm.
And the music I hate in this game more than any other shmup.
I'm not a huge fan of it, but I like that it's different.
Well, it's interesting to me that like the music is, it's not, you know, necessary to enjoy the game.
No.
But it's such an important part of this game.
Yeah.
In a weird way. That
if
you don't like it.
You don't like, so it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, not only that, but the shot types in this game are really abstract and bizarre. And I don't think they offer anything interesting.
No, they're weird. They're definitely weird. Especially like when you have the lock-on type and it's like a string of buzzsaws.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A little weird.
Yeah, I don't like the scoring mechanic. I don't like a lot of aspects of it. And I don't like the fact that it's a manic shooter. When Cave makes manic shooters, I have manic shooters to begin with. And when Cave makes them, it bothers me more so. Because I'm basically looking at the game and saying, man, this would have been a great looking game had it been a bullet hell shooter.
Yeah. You
know, and where the bullet's not moving so fast and randomly.
Yeah. I like mentioning it because it steps outside the typical motif of either space battle or alien battle.
Yeah.
Or
what is
like
it?
Street battle.
Like, what's happening in that
I don't
game?
Know. But it has it's just a weird, like, you know, weird funky thing to it.
It's very...
Which it's supposed to, but...
Yeah.
I think that's why... That alone makes it worth mentioning.
I mean, it's an example of Cave stepping out of what they typically make.
Right.
But not too far out. It's the same engine.
This,
I guarantee it.
Aside from the bullet hell space-oriented shooter, this would be the other thing that Cave normally does. Or this would be, I would say, the genesis of the other side of Cave shmups. And I'm definitely going to piss somebody off mispronouncing this because I have no clue as to what it's supposed to be, but Esperade.
Oh,
that's how I'm gonna say it.
I really like this game.
I don't have any. I don't have a huge problem with this game. I'm
really
just not
like
very good
game.
At. I'm not good at it.
Well, what's interesting is that when you were playing it, you should try playing it now because the last time, have you played it since I played it?
No,
time?
But I redid the controls to where like.
Now you should play it because there's three kinds of shots. Well, there's two kinds of shots and a bomb in that game, and. When you first played it, because of the way you mapped your controller for other games, you weren't aware that there was that other method of shooting, which is necessary to complete levels in the game. So
yeah.
I could see why you wouldn't like it. But yeah, it's really cool. This game is something that Cave started in the genre, I think. Oh boy, I hope I'm not stepping on any developers' toes here. But you know, they abandoned the aesthetic entirely of ships.
Right.
And they're using people now.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. At first, when I saw the graphics and I saw what the look it was going for, I didn't really like it because, I don't know, I always considered space to be such an integral part to the shmup.
Right.
And, I don't know, it's just very obvious the direction that we're moving.
But
very away from space.
The reason that what I was getting at by saying this is the other side of Cave is I feel like this is the beginning of the lowly shooter, like Death Smiles, like Mujihime-sama.
Yeah, yeah.
It just has that Japanese teenager. I don't know the word for it there, but there's an aesthetic to this game that I can see in later titles, even though literally the visuals are not the same. But there's just something about the content of what I'm looking at that feels very similar.
Yeah, no, it's the first, right?
Right.
And so it's transitional by nature.
Right.
And I get a really and I think this is because of when this game came out. But I don't really... I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that I can deal with this game because it's not quite as lowly, basically.
Yeah.
And that's really an aesthetic that I just don't like in shmups.
Sure. No, I definitely agree.
With the exception of Mujihime-sama, which is arguably not lowly. This game, actually, its aesthetic, for some reason or another, sort of reminds me a lot of Akira.
Sure, definitely,
And anything that invokes Akira.
Like Japanese school kids, schoolyards, giant military vehicles, and a flying boy who's destroying everything.
Sure, exactly.
It's definitely...
And Ghost in the Shell, and just
definitely
weird.
Shades of Tetsuo and Ghost
really,
in the Shell.
Yeah, really shades of, like, 80s and 90s anime, which I like so many times more than any anime coming out post 2000.
And it's...
I think it's worth noting.
The one, and a small aside here, there's a game on this list that isn't on this list that I'm surprised. You didn't put Last Resort on this list.
No, that is true. I totally forgot about Last Resort. Which is very interesting.
Yeah, Esperade. I haven't played Galuda or Galuda 2, but...
Galuda is a really interesting game.
Just out of support for Cave, I will own it if it comes to this, if it's able to be purchased.
It's the same. It's roughly the same game, although the scoring system is much more fun.
Yeah,
I guess you could say.
So, still sticking with Cave, still sticking with people, and going back to a ground-based shooter. This is a game that I don't think you really like this game very much, but I do. There's just something about it I like a lot. Gwange. Or
I don't like this game either.
Yeah.
No, I can't get into it.
There's just something about it. I really like it.
It's too slow moving, I think.
That is kind of...
I think that's the only thing I don't like about it. I don't think it's a bad game in any way. I think it's a really well-designed game, and the graphics are really interesting. I guess there's a certain... I just don't like the subject matter, I guess, is the best.
The feudal Japan sort of thing.
Feudal Japan is probably the least interesting thing to me.
Yeah.
In the world. So, I mean, a lot of it's a product of that. And the bosses are... You know, by virtue of not being mechanical, they are kind of goofy looking to me.
Sure.
Hey. You know, anytime they try and pre-render...
the cat spider?
Right, cat spider.
I don't really take it very seriously.
Exactly. Pre-rendering organic life is kind of difficult.
Yeah.
If you can't do it well, don't do it. And I don't think that game does it too well. You know, they do it better in Death Smiles.
You know,
as time goes on, Cave gets really good at it, but... I don't think they did it very well at this point, so I just didn't like
it. I'm also kind of surprised that there haven't been any further permutations of the gameplay mechanic in that game.
Yeah.
At least in the form of any kind of sequel or anything.
Hopefully it comes out to Xbox Live. It's a game that...
God, really?
It's done and up on and running on Xbox Live. On Xbox 360s, it's just... They don't know if Microsoft's going to accept it.
So...
Is where that's at.
Now we're going to go... We're going to venture into a developer that has not... This is their first appearance on this list.
Right.
And
I think it's my favorite developer ever.
And this is Ray's... This is definitely Ray's favorite developer ever.
To be continued. Thanks for listening.